This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's Friday, April 20th, 2018. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have a better day ahead of us. High temperature in the 50s, in the 40s at the lakefront. Right now it's 56 at O'Hare, 42 with sunshine at the lake.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank. Markets are in negative territory this afternoon. Let's get the latest from Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
That's right, Rob and Chris. In fact, the day's losses now a second day in the red, really taking a toll on our weekly win, although we are still in the green. On the day, the Dow down 221 points, looking at a weekly move higher of about 0.5%. NASDAQ falling 93 points now, or 1.25%, up 0.75% on the week. S&P losing 26 points right now at 26.67, higher by 0.75% on the week. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is headed lower on the day as well, falling about 0.5%. Investors continue to worry about smartphone demand. On the heels of a weak forecast from a supplier of chips for phones, OTR Global says the iPhone faces stepped up competition in China from Asian companies. And so Apple shares are sinking 4%. Stock in IBM, Cisco, Intel, and Microsoft all also in the red today. Now, Wells Fargo headed in the other direction, even though it's been hit with a $1 billion fine, the largest bank penalty under the Trump administration. The fine settles two federal complaints, one for forcing insurance on customers who took out car loans. The other is for imposing fees for locking in interest rates on new home loans. We've got advanced merger talks between Bunge and locally based Archer Daniels Midland ending without agreement. That's the report coming out, according to people familiar with the matter. Crude oil futures saw deeper losses earlier in the session, now sliding 0.25%, but still above $68 a barrel. Back to you, Robin, Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, there are a lot of ways to learn more about your finances, all free. We will tell you about this year's Money Smart Week, and on this 420, the business of pot growing across the United States.
And it's Entrepreneur Friday. If you want to get into the barbecue business, you finally perfected that brisket and think that maybe people will line up to buy it. We'll talk to somebody who will give you the do's and don'ts of the barbecue space. All that and more coming up at the Noon Business Hour.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Today, 420 is considered by some to be an unofficial holiday for marijuana smokers. We're going to discuss the business of pot in our next segment. Right now, the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago's 17th annual Money Smart Week begins tomorrow, and we're going to learn more about the event with Dan Wasserman, Federal Reserve spokesman for Money Smart Week here in Chicago. Dan, what's in store this year?
Hi, Chris. In a nutshell, really, what Money Smart Week is all about is helping people make good decisions about their personal finances. And the way we do that is we have roughly 500 classes all around the city that just a wide variety of topics that are related to personal finances. And these are free. We're not selling anything, not pushing any products, anything like that. It's just good, objective information to help people learn.
So the sign-up begins tomorrow. Is that correct, if you want to be in a certain class?
Well, the sign-up is already underway, but you can still sign up. And the way to find out where there is a class in your area is simply to go to moneysmartweek.org, and they will have a phone number where you can call if you want more information. They'll have the address of the event. These are in downtown. They're on the north side. They're really all over there, on the west side, the south side, in the suburbs. We try to make the classes as accessible as possible, and just on, you know, just a lot of different topics that people are interested in and need to know about. Saving for college, buying a house, getting out of credit card debt, managing student debt, a lot of different topics, Chris.
Do you find that the turnout this year or any year is affected by how the economy is doing, how the markets are doing?
Well, that's a good question. What I can say is that there's always good turnouts at these classes. There's always a demand for this type of information. But, you know, you have to work at it. If you're going to learn how to make better decisions, you have to obviously put some effort into it. But these classes are really good to help people get started, and they're really good to help people just understand the resources out there and the types of professionals out there who can help them.
What are some of the biggest stumbling blocks for people when it comes to their personal finances? Is it credit card debt? Is it student loan payments? Or is it planning for retirement in a timely fashion?
Well, it really depends kind of where you are in life. And I think, you know, if you're a younger person, you want to learn how to finance college and things like that. Using credit wisely is always an issue. There's a lot of different sort of pitfalls you can confront when you're trying to figure out how to manage your money. But, you know, the thing is, as you pull that $5 bill out of your wallet, it doesn't come with an instruction manual, right? You have to learn how to spend it, how to save it, things like that. And that's really what Money Smart Week is all about.
Are these events, are they geared toward younger people, high school, college students, recent graduates, or everybody across the age and demographic spectrum?
Well, with 500 classes, we have a lot of different target audiences that we're reaching for. So, for example, for people who are approaching retirement, just an example, there's one in Naperville called Five Keys to Retiring Fearlessly. There's one in Evanston about identity theft. Are you going to be next? What are you going to do? We have classes in Spanish on 21st Street on the 25th next week at an organization called Mujeres Latinas en Acción. We're going to teach Latinas about who speak Spanish, about what particular issues confront them when they're trying to learn how to get out of debt or manage their credit, things like that. How parents should talk to their kids about money, what teenagers need to know. There's one at the Museum of Science and Industry. It's called Go Green, things that you can do around your house that is not only environmentally a good idea, but it also can save you money. So it's pretty across the board.
Thank you very much, Dan Wasserman, a Federal Reserve spokesman for Money Smart Week. We'll have more information at moneysmartweek.org. Coming up, the marijuana business is growing, and it now provides about 200,000 jobs. We'll talk about that next.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The legalization of marijuana has spawned an industry that's seeing rapid expansion but also experiencing growing pains. Let's talk about the business side of marijuana with Jennifer Kaplan, who is a reporter with Bloomberg based in Los Angeles. Jenny, welcome back to the program. 420 on social media is being greeted by the usual suspects, you know, Tommy Chong, the people who have vocally advocated in favor of marijuana legalization over the years. But that chorus of pot advocates is now being joined by people like former Speaker of the House John Boehner, who is now on the board of a cannabis company, Acreage Holdings, it's called, one of the many companies that's trying to cash in the marijuana space. How can they make green from that green, as it were?
Right. So it's a really interesting space right now, especially today, which has, you know, long been sort of a stoner holiday. But really, the industry is moving away from that image and is trying to professionalize and really become like any big business. You know, still these days, it's not all that easy to invest if you're a regular person in one of these companies. Most people who are getting invested in these businesses are largely doing so in a private manner by making an investment in private companies. There are publicly traded companies in Canada in particular, and so people are getting in through the public markets there. But it's a really interesting space where if you want to put your money into it, it isn't really quite as easy as it is in other big consumer product businesses like, you know, big alcohol, big tobacco, or, you know, your big soda companies.
And it's a patchwork of laws across a number of states. Some have legalized it outright. Others have decriminalized. Others are it's legal for medical use only. And the problem that a lot of these dispensaries are running into is that no one wants to lend them money. They're having trouble with banks because, after all, it's still a federal crime.
Exactly. It has gotten a little bit easier over time. There are some banks that are willing to do business with these companies, but none of the really big banks. It's largely, you know, state banks or local credit unions, and they may be willing to give these businesses, you know, a checking account, but they're largely not doing other services that lots of businesses rely on. And it's really interesting because that means that these companies are doing a lot of business in cash, which can be dangerous. You know, they're doing everything from paying employees to paying taxes with just bundles of cash. And this business isn't small anymore. It was $6 billion in 2016, but it's projected to be $75 billion by 2030, according to the investment bank Cowen and Company. So this is a lot of money that we're talking about.
Here's a side issue, but it's an interesting question. As the business grows, what happens with marijuana dogs?
That is an interesting side question. So a lot of them, I think, have to actually be retrained, according to the sources that I've talked to. But a lot of the dogs you see around aren't necessarily searching for marijuana. They're more interested in, you know, other drugs, or in a lot of cases, you know, at airports and things like that, they're really searching for things like bombs.
Jennifer, nice to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today. Jennifer Kaplan, reporter at Bloomberg in Los Angeles. And still ahead on this Entrepreneur Friday, turning your barbecuing skills into a business.
WBBM News Time, 1225. WBBM Business is sponsored by Baird. From Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Rob, we are still in the red here. The Dow is down 214 points at 24,452. NASDAQ sliding 85 points. That's a loss of more than 1%. S&P down 23 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is lower by 0.4%. Bigger losses for crude oil futures earlier in the session. Now they're down about 0.3%, but still above $68 a barrel. We also have a check of the grains markets. For that, we turn to Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Grains are lower across the board. Corn for the moment in December down 4.25, 4.03¾. Beans have been down as much as 9.5. We're down 7.75 in July at 10.41¼. And wheat for July down 10 at 4.80¾. Lower across the board, profit-taking, and the beginning of planting season next week. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Pete, thank you. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Taking stock of the Apple iPhone amid conflicting reports about its future.
A warning is out about the business practices of a car auction company in Harvey.
Students across the country, including Chicago, walk out to protest gun violence.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 197, the NASDAQ off 78, S&P 500 down by 20.
AccuWeather forecast for today, sunny to partly cloudy, a high of 58, but near 50 along the lakefront. It's 56 degrees at O'Hare, and the noon business hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank.
The markets are lower on this final day of the trading week. We are joined by Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Vahan. Tell us what you're seeing in the markets today.
Well, we're seeing a bit of a sell-off, which doesn't really surprise me. I mean, the market has been a little choppy, and I also think it's been fairly overvalued for quite some time. So I'm not surprised to see some selling today. But of course, you know, you can't really make conclusions based on one day's performance in the stock market. Overall, however, I do think that we could see the market go a little lower. I am a bit concerned that a lot of really good names that pay very good dividends seem to be selling off. However, I think that could be an opportunity to buy some stocks that are not necessarily overvalued.
Okay, so and let's talk about when you said you think the markets are a little overheated. What areas would you be interested in investing in right now?
Well, you know, one area I really like is energy. We've been seeing a run-up in crude oil prices lately, and crude oil prices have gone up much faster than the energy stocks have gone up. So I think that these stocks will eventually catch up. So I think energy is a good place. I've been using the XLE, which is an ETF of energy companies. I also like Murphy Oil, which is an exploration and production company. Now, that stock recently has been doing quite well, but I think it could continue to go higher. I also like, by the way, I also like financial firms. I think we're in a period now where we're finally seeing interest rates going higher, and eventually that should help the bank's profits. We saw some bank earnings reports recently that were very, very strong. The stocks, however, did not really react well to those earnings reports. But I think bank stocks will continue to do well. And I use an ETF for that, too. I use the XLF for financial companies.
And the market volatility is certainly helpful for these banks' financial services portfolios as people rush to get some advice.
Well, not just get advice, but they also trade more. So whenever you see a volatility in the markets, you see a lot of people turning over their portfolios. It may not necessarily be a good idea to do that, but they do turn over their portfolios. And, of course, that is good for the bank's profits because many of them do have brokerage arms.
This is April 20th, 420, big day in the marijuana universe, and we had a look at the business of pot in our previous segment. How does the investment community view some of these cannabis companies that are trying to cash in where marijuana is legal? Are they lining up, or are they a little concerned just because it's still a criminal activity on the federal level?
Well, yes, I was just going to correct you. Marijuana is not legal anywhere on the federal level. So as far as the investment community goes, I can only speak for myself. My view is that I'm not willing to invest in something like that. It's not an area that is of interest to me. I do know that other investors, however, do think that there are great profit opportunities available in marijuana. I suppose a safer way to invest in marijuana right now might be to do it in Canada. I do know there are some companies in Canada, and it seems like the government in Canada is more likely to, have a nicer view, at least on the federal level, than our government would.
Vahan, we are seeing all kinds of disruption in out of Washington and politics. And how is that affecting the markets or the people who go to the markets?
Well, surprisingly, not much. Despite all this disruption, I think the stock markets have actually done very well. As you know, the stock market is up very strongly ever since President Trump got elected. My view is that these political disruptions, these things that I would consider to be non-economic, have an impact on the market that's relatively short-lived. So, for example, you might hear that a key member of the Trump administration was just fired. There's a negative reaction in the stock market, but then the market quickly recovers. I would focus more on economic numbers, on corporate earnings, corporate revenues, on GDP, and I would ignore, to a large part, what's going on in Washington.
And as the string of positive earnings reports continues to come in, and just solid economic numbers seemingly from every sector, looking beyond those numbers, anything in there that makes you think that there could be turbulence ahead?
Yeah, one of the things I've been concerned about for years is that we've gone through a period of time where the stock market was doing great, but the economy was not. Now we're in a period of time where the economy is actually doing pretty well. And it's always been my view that either the economy had to catch up to the stock market or the stock market had to sell off to where the economy was. Now we're seeing the economy strengthening. Things are actually looking pretty good. But for that reason, because the stock market had done so well for so long, even when the economy was weak, my view is that the market is going to catch a breather. I don't think it's going to do particularly well for the coming year. We could see the market relatively flat or even slightly down.
All right, Vahan, we'll be checking back with you. Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer, Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Coming up in Entrepreneur Friday, helping satisfy the growing appetite for barbecue.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, sponsored by the Webb Financial Group. Today, we're learning about the ins and outs of the restaurant biz, barbecue in particular. Welcome in Bill Keekin, who is the owner of No Bull Restaurant Consulting, based in Calumet City. Bill, welcome to the program. So, you've spent years perfecting that brisket recipe. You've done all the trial and error. You have a bunch of sauces, and now you want to go into the barbecue business yourself. What do you do?
Well, we're specializing in consulting, and we're helping people set up a restaurant from scratch, mainly people with no experience. It's an alternative to a franchise, so they don't have to pay any royalty fees, which is a percent of sales. They don't have to pay franchise fees. They do pay a consulting fee, but they don't have to follow any manuals or hard group franchise rules. They don't have to do a lot of discounting. We'll help them with marketing and for local marketing, because that's what they're going to be.
If barbecue restaurants, especially in Chicago, some are extremely trendy and everybody talks about them. There's a lot of love for real urban barbecue or smoke, and maybe someone wants to break into that space and open up their own barbecue restaurant, and then they talk to you. What's the first place a barbecue restaurant wannabe? Where should they start?
Well, you got to look for an area that you like. It has to be, of course. You know, you got to do a little bit of studies as far as what's going on in the area. Are you near any other franchises or business? Are you in front of a strip mall? Are you part of a strip mall? You want to look for a good location. And the second thing you want to do is look for a restaurant that is already closed and has the build-out. If you find one that's closed with a build-out, you can save $200,000 to $300,000 on the hood, exhaust systems, plumbing, electric, what have you.
How do you explain the love for barbecue? I mean, it's become even a big, sophisticated crowds, you know, want the barbecue. This has really advanced over the last 20 years or so.
Well, everybody likes something different, and you get a different flavor when you barbecue. Is really it's two things: it's cooking over an open flame, and or smoking with wood, and you can. It's a combination of both. And if you do the smoking part, you usually use a commercial type of oven, so that you have consistency, and that your product comes out the same all the time. But people are looking for something different, and it's really come up in the last 5 to 10 years.
Do you also help people choose a name for restaurants, and what have been some of those names?
Well, I'm working with a fellow right now. He has actually been in the business before, and he's going to be opening up a barbecue place within the next 3 or 4 months in the Tinley area, and I've talked to another gentleman in the Hammond area who's has a closed restaurant that he's going to put barbecue into.
In terms of facilities, you mentioned a little bit about making sure that you buy a existing restaurant space so you can save on converting it into a restaurant. In terms of buying a massive smoker or a slow cooker, something that could accommodate all the meat that you want to cook, is a barbecue restaurant more expensive compared to a regular restaurant in terms of specialized equipment?
Well, it is as far as the smoker goes. The large smokers can run $15,000 to $20,000. You can buy smaller smokers for in the $8,000 to $10,000 area. Myself, I would recommend the smaller smokers, because you can use it as you need it, and you can cook, for example, chicken in one and pork in the other, so they don't get them mixed up.
And lastly, I always wonder this when I walk into a barbecue restaurant and you have the ribs that fall off the bone, or just that juicy melt-in-your-mouth pulled pork. When does the restaurateur show up to actually put the meat in the slow cooker so it actually comes out perfect like that?
Well, ribs you can cook in 2.5 to 3 hours. The pork is usually like a 12 to 14 hour process. It's a bigger piece of meat, and you cook it at low temperature and slow, and they call it low and slow.
Low and slow. Bill, thanks so much for joining us today. Interesting to hear about the what you're doing with the marketing. Bill Keegan is owner of No Bull Restaurant Consulting in Calumet City. Still to come on the Noon Business Hour, the future of Apple's iPhone 10.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Analysts are weighing in on what is ahead for Apple as shares in the company go negative for the year, down about 4 percentage points today. Let's get the perspective of Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor in Orlando. Gary, there seems to be an argument over the future of Apple 10.
I'm not so sure it's an argument at this point. Taiwan Semiconductor, a big supplier to Apple, came out and said they're selling less phones, simple as that. And that's got every analyst on Wall Street lowering their numbers. And that's why you're seeing the most overloved, overowned stock in history getting hit right now as they have to start marking down their earnings estimates.
So it was overvalued?
You can always say it's overvalued after it dropped 12 points in 2 days. Look, Apple is about how many things they are selling. And if they're going to sell less, stock's going to take a hit, and that's all you're seeing right now. Now, it's going to depend on the next couple of phones that come out. Obviously, the 10 came out that was too high priced and not enough people bought. Great margins on them, but you got to sell more of them, and I think this is a little bit of the comeuppance.
Have we reached a peak smartphone that there's simply X number of people who can own them and there's only so much you can do with them?
Well, I think you're possibly close to that. That's why you got all the upgrades and the new phones and the new phones and the new phones. And I suspect we're going to see a lot of that as we move forward. And, yeah, I think you got it right about what a phone can do. Maybe Alexa-like going forward, who knows? I don't know if you heard about Alexa, but they have 30,000 skills now and 4,500 home equipment things that they can work with. So I think that's a possibility. But just remember, this is a company that sells a ton of them. Everybody already owns them, and they got to keep getting better and better, and it just gets tougher to do.
You don't want to write anybody off, but is this going to be the way of the world for Apple for just a little while?
Well, nobody's writing them off. But look, they've had moments in time where for 2-3 years, stock was underperformed, didn't do so well, and boom, then they came out with another phone that went crazy. So you can never write them off. But I suspect right now, and just so you know, guidance for the earnings for May 1st has been coming down over the last 3 weeks, and that's what's doing the trick here. So that's not helping. Again, it's all going to be about the next phone and the next phone and whether they can come out with something that just blows people's socks off.
All right, Gary, thanks so much for joining us. Gary Kaltbaum, president, Kaltbaum Capital Management, Fox News business contributor in Orlando. His website is GaryK.com. And if you've missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. WBBM Business is sponsored by Leapfrog Technology Group. From Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we're coming back a little bit from deeper losses, but we're still in the red with the Dow down 164 points, or 0.2%, now at 24,005. NASDAQ down 71 points, or 1%. S&P sliding by 17. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg right now is also headed lower by 0.2%. So the averages are lower for a second day amid another day of worries about demand for Apple's iPhones. Research firm OTR Global says the competition in China from Asian phone makers is intensifying. A federal court has thrown a potential wrench into Sinclair Broadcast planned by Tribune Media. The FCC faced skeptical questioning today in court about a rule change that reinstated the so-called UHF discount. The rule allows owners of some TV stations to count just part of their audience when calculating their compliance with national ownership limits. Now, Bloomberg Intelligence says most signs point to a loss for the FCC, setting up a race for Sinclair to complete the Tribune deal before a decision is handed down. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Alisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.